Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Rick. Hour number three of the show. Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, is going to join us. Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, is going to join us. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight. Red Sox Astros, Game 3 of the ALCS, and Monday Night Football to wrap up week number 6 in the National Football League. The Bills visiting the Tennessee Titans. You know, it's been fun trying to handicap this game, not knowing if A.J. Brown's going to play. That's an absolute blast. Love it. That's a great way to spend time. Loch Ness, day one, coming up in hour number three. Ken's thoughts on the Heisman Trophy mark, and maybe getting a little more interesting with what Caleb Williams did. Maybe not. Ken Barkley's going to tell us all about that in hour number three. But for the next hour and 20 minutes or so, pen, pencil, or blood.
Oh, boy.
Our favorite long-ass Monday segments. Right. Getting us set to bed.
A little less long than it was last week or the week before. Just, you know, had a lot to get off our chest there, I feel like, about NFL betting narratives. I feel like that was a good thing.
I think it was really strong, like what we talked about. Like, I really do think, and like, is it harsh for me to say like people are dumb? Is it just that they're not educated? Is that like a better way to say it?
Yeah, like it's just because like people are dumb. Like we're dumb with a ton of stuff. Like I can't fix anything around the house. Am I dumb, or do I just
do you know
like,
what's
not
so
know
funny about
stuff,
that, Ken?
Like light bulbs.
Do you remember I told you like we're dogs. We're dog sitting, right?
Right.
This for the last couple of days in my house, like the dog Penny, who just got picked up. I feel like by like her parents.
Right, I was going to say, fingers crossed on that one.
Right. It's like so weird. Like my girlfriend's like, Penny, like your mom and dad are coming home soon. And I'm like, yeah, it's a dog, man. It's not a child.
It's a dog.
But like Penny wears a harness, like to get walked. Like a little literal harness gets put on the dog.
Who doesn't?
And I actually, like you could give me probably 50 years to try to figure out how to put the harness on the dog and I wouldn't be able to figure it out. Yeah. Like my girlfriend has to do it for me. Like right. There's lots of stuff that I'm dumb with.
It's right. Just so does that mean you're dumb or just you don't know how to do something, right?
Yeah. So maybe I'm a little harsh when I say that people are dumb. I think it's just like trying to educate you a little bit. Like the way that I've been educated to try and not be as stupid when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, people
I think
are just
probably a better
humans
way
in general.
It.
We're really bad at probability. We think it's like all one way, all another way, or maybe like 50-50. We don't really understand that there's any gray areas between those things. And then we're also pattern seeking. So we're going to seek out patterns in anything.
I think the way that it's easy for me to think about it, like when you say on the show sometimes that life is just like one big series of bets, you kind of, it's like, If you sit down at a roulette table and it comes up red 6 times in a row and you're like, I want to bet on black, it's like you're thinking in your head, this is a limited sample size.
Right, of 6.
When actually, like, the the sample size is actually, like, infinity.
Yeah.
And in a sample size of infinity, like, crazy stuff is going to happen. Like, it could come up red 57 straight times. It could come up black 100 straight times after that. Yeah. Like, when you have, like, infinity sample size, like, these things are going to happen. Like, sample sizes are not limited, like, as much as, like, you want to try and make them limited.
Right. And
like,
anything can happen. What the certainty is? If you really did sit down at a roulette table for infinity spins, the certainty is you'd lose at the end. And that's why casinos literally exist. Yeah. Because they have an advantage. It's not a coin flip. They have an advantage. So the longer you play, the more likely it is that they win.
I'll tell you what, though. It's a lot of fun.
Sure is fun. Hey, they got free drinks. Right?
That's why I always say when I go to the casino, I'm not thinking how much am I going to win. It's how much am I going to lose and it's still going to be all right because it's worth the time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's
like if I lose $1,000 at the casino over the next couple of days, is that okay?
There are plenty of ways to maximize a casino experience. Not to win money, but to get the most out of, honestly, get the most out of losing the money. Like, are you getting free drinks? Like, are you getting comps? Are you getting, you know, like, is your experience as maximized?
Are you having a good time with your friends? Right. Absolutely.
Is it as optimized as it can possibly be? And, you know, or even is it optimized a little bit? Or even, you know, just thinking about it a little bit, then it'll be a lot more fun.
All right. Let's get into week number 7 in the National Football League. It's time for everyone's favorite Violent Monday segment. Rick, pen, pencil, or blood?
I feel like we needed the rock music.
The juxtaposition of that right. into this is now great. I think when we say blood, we should say it like that now.
Blood.
Blood. It's more like a vomit noise. Pen, pencil, or blood.
Pen, pencil, or blah.
Speaking of blood, I think we're going to have some blood on Thursday night.
Whew, man.
Maybe on the field.
Right. Browns have had plenty of that already.
In addition to kind of our bets. So let's start pen, pencil, or blood as we do each and every Monday with Thursday night football. And this week, the Thursday night matchup is the Browns hosting the Denver Broncos in like the 1980s call. They want their rivalry back. These two teams played each other, obviously, in the 86 and 87 AFC Championship games. I'm sure no one cares, but the Browns literally fumbled away both those games. Ernest Biner in 87 and then the drive in 1986. So Browns -4.5, total 42.5. Cleveland coming off a 37-14 blowout loss yesterday at home to Arizona, where it looked like Baker Mayfield's like arm shattered in a million pieces, and then he came back in on the next drive, then showed up to the postgame press conference with his arm in a sling. Make of that what you will. Denver loses 34-24 to Vegas. Both these games going over what the numbers closed at. So there you have it. Cleveland's going to be down Kareem Hunt and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, rookie linebacker. We'll see about Nick Chubb's availability, Ken, for Thursday night. That's still up in the air. So Browns 4.5 at Bet Rivers against the Broncos. Total 42.5. Pen, pencil, or blood? What do you got?
Do I have to like reserve blood for like the real bloody things, or like pen Denver at least? I mean, like between pen, like something. All right, whatever. Blood Denver. I already bet it, so the guys asked me blood Denver. That's
what I did too. Yeah. I guess if you already bet it, like it's kind of like a kind of has to be. Well, we should try and. Yeah. Well, maybe like because we do that big segment tomorrow with the games you've already bet. So maybe
this wasn't even a big number difference though. That's the funny thing. So all the games we're going to talk about, I know this one's first because it's Thursday night. It might be one of the ones I'm the most fascinated by and trying to like understand because there's a really surface level analysis of this where this number makes perfect sense. So the books open 4.5 everywhere. They're now 4s in a bunch of places too. So it's between like 4.25 is kind of the number in the market. So a little money on Denver already. I think that's 1,000,000% the right direction. My number is a little bit less than that. Not a huge number edge, like not one where I'd like dying to bet it right away. But I think it's really interesting where like surface level analysis is, well, I mean, Cleveland just closed 3 against like an almost 3.5 against like one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the league, like maybe one of the best teams in the league, Arizona on Sunday. So like if they're 3 in that game, they have to be more than 3. Like they have to be 4.5, 5, and like they just have to be. Like otherwise it'd be crazy. Like in what world can they be 3 against Arizona and against Denver? And it's like, well, wait a minute. Not only the injury situation, which we can detail and how Cleveland might be really beat up coming into the game, but like that number was never gonna be 3 if everything was stable. That number was only ever going to be like 1, or like my number in the game was closer to a pick if everything was stable in the game. And by stable, I mean the combination of Kingsbury, weather, and injuries to Arizona. Like that all contributed to the rating in the game, like pushing that spread out when I actually think it was going to compress a lot if Arizona didn't have a lot of the things that happened in the game. So I look at that game yesterday and I'm like, yeah, in that unique situation, Cleveland was that much better than Arizona in the market. But like on a neutral or in some like nebulous, like, you know, just kind of macro level, definitely not three better than Arizona, definitely less than that. So I actually think if you agree with me, then you're going to look at the Thursday spread and be like, this should actually be like 3, 3.5. Like, this is actually the true difference between the teams, because there isn't all the completely crazy stuff going on with Cleveland's opponent like there was yesterday. So it's interesting, like surface level, you're like, well, like 3, 3.5 Arizona has to be more than that. Okay, whatever. But then you're like, well, why was it 3, 3.5 against Arizona? And like, okay, then what should this really be with Cleveland and the condition they are coming into this game? So I think it needs to be honestly less than, I mean, 4.5, or I'm like between 3.5 and 4 with my number. So it was a bet. It wasn't like I have a couple bigger number edges on the board, but I think just more like an intuitive, just kind of like unpacking of why the number yesterday against Arizona was what it was. That's what made me like Denver.
When I was like sitting down like this morning, kind of like going over, like I always go to, I don't know why, just like a creature of habit. I go to NFL.com and for the schedule, and I write down all the matchups that are going to be played. Like the days of me staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, like, are done. I'm just too old. I'm too tired. We wake up too early on Sunday mornings. Like I'm in bed by the end of the Sunday night game every single week. So I don't do this until Monday morning now. And I'm going over, you know, the matchups, and I'm thinking, okay, like what should the point spread be here? And I'm literally thinking like, anything above 3 and I'm taking Denver. I actually think Denver's going to win this game. Like, I think the Broncos are going to win. Now we'll see what the injury report looks like. Maybe if Nick Chubb plays, that kind of changes how I feel about this. But if the number's over 3, like plus 3.5, I'm betting Denver. And like, I bet Denver already. So like, I'm in on Denver. So I guess it's kind of blood, right? Blood for the Broncos here.
Right. And it's a couple of kind of interesting notes. So we just did the Cleveland Sunday versus Cleveland now. Why was the number what it was? I don't know if I realized this until I looked at it. You know, Denver's been favored in every game they played up until this point this season. I hadn't really thought about it that way. And it's not like they played the murderer's row of opponents, but like they closed a 1-point favorite at Pinnacle against Baltimore in a game at home. So like,
closed a favorite at Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah. And yeah, a 2-point favorite at Pittsburgh, and obviously big number last week against the Raiders. Like, they're going to be one against what was an injured Baltimore at the time. Remember, you had the Lamar on the injury report going into that game, too. So, like, I have a bunch of notes written for that point spread. Not like maybe it wasn't as authentic as it'll look. You know, a month from now, you go back and you look and go, man, they were one against Baltimore. Okay, well, Baltimore had a lot of issues, but like enough that they're one there and 5, 4.5 now in this 4.5, excuse me, in this game. Like, just again, it's not that I think sometimes we talk about people are bad at probability. When we have these conversations, no one on earth that is doing this is making the argument that like Cleveland's not better. Like that's not what the discussion is, or that like Denver is sure to win. Again, like people only think about things at one extreme or the other. Cleveland is better. It's just how much better. And it's a definition of degree. And I think not this much better is like the right way to put it.
And so, and not like in this specific situation with the quarterbacks clearly not 100% healthy. Right. They're not going to, they might not have their
top running back. What a wild sequence, like, too. Like, I thought he was like toast. And then it's just, I guess, hey, to play with a torn labrum and you land on it, going to hurt for a while.
You know, right? I guess, right? I mean, if you're playing with it already, I mean, that looked, I thought he like shattered his arm.
Well, and so Watt immediately, because I'm sure he like shrieked when he hit the ground, probably. So Watt immediately.
And he was laying there with his arm dangling like a wet noodle, like, and he was like his feet thrashing. Right,
but it's
on
his
the ground,
off arm now. But it's. I do the show and like my toenail hurts and I'm calling out. That's
what... Yeah, man. I mean, I'm the biggest wuss of all time, man. So I'm with you here.
Yeah, the brim of my hat is sore. I'm out.
Honestly, like if you're Kevin Stefanski, maybe it's time to sit that ass down, Baker Mayfield, and get Case Keenum in the game. Like let Baker heal for a little bit here because he ain't playing well right now for the Browns. And I kind of think Denver's going to win this game on Thursday. Now, I took the points for now. We'll see about money line as we move along this week, see what the injury reports have to say. But it's really like the first thought I had this week was anything above 3. Like, I have to take the points with Denver.
And just one real quick note before break. There are some teams who would obviously, you want a late buy in general going into the season. Like, Cleveland would have loved an early buy this year. They're so beat up. They don't get one for like 7 weeks. It's unbelievable.
Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. More pen, pencil, or blood, and we'll start hour number two with the Patriots and the Jets.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Hour number two, Magnificent Football Monday. Costos and Barkley here with you on BetQL. Next hour going to be spent pen, pencil, or blood. All our thoughts on Week 7 in the National Football League. Then Whale Capper's going to join us, Drew Dinsick. Russ Tucker's going to join us, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Day 1 of Lockmas with Ken's thoughts on the Heisman Trophy race. Power Hour, Final Hour. Bets for the Red Sox and Astros. Bets for the Titans and the Bills. Side total. And Proppa going to preach with some props for Buffalo and Tennessee. Let's continue pen, pencil, or blood for Week 7 in the National Football League. We closed last hour talking about the Browns and the Broncos. Let's start Sunday's action here, Ken, with the Patriots and the Jets. Second time these two teams have met this year. Played back in Week 2. Patriots dominated, won that game 25-6 in the Jersey Meadowlands. Now the Patriots are home. New England, a touchdown favorite as of right now at Bet Rivers. Total 42.5. Patriots, of course, coming off just like a ridiculous not covering the spread against Dallas. 35-29, a loser in overtime. And the Jets coming off a bye week following their London loss, Ken, to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and this is the first game that we have of four games in which the question will be asked, and you know, everyone that does work on numbers is kind of wonders the same thing, which is just how much do you build in, or how do you think about a team that comes off a bye and then plays a game? Like, are they so much more valuable? Everyone used to quote that Andy Reid stat like forever and ever and ever, and I'm sure it's still true, like that he's just like insane.
I made a song about it. Yeah. When Will Brinson and I used to do a podcast together, we created a song. The song was like this. It's really easy. Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid off the bye. Andy Reid off the bye. And this is like, yeah, so it's Andy Reid off the bye. So Andy Reid's off the bye, you met the Chiefs.
I feel like that kind of fits the xylophone song we did. Do, 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 do. Andy Reid off the bye. and so that we have the first of those, four of those games. Then obviously this will be an exercise that we do the rest of the year. I'm sure I don't have the optimal approach. We've had people on there that are like, I use the same number for all of it, and they're like, it matters. Or we have people that are like, I know what it is for certain coaches. I'm kind of more in that camp where I just, like, I don't put in the exact same amount in my number for each one. I just know that they're off the bye. So I like, when I see a number and like, you know, maybe it's a little less than mine or whatever, I try to just kind of like take note on what that difference is. So it's kind of just this range basically, but it is something that matters, and we'll have it with four different teams, Jets, Falcons, Niners, and Saints as we go through stuff. This number is very interesting. So it feels like there's two things pushing against each other in this game. I think right now I'd actually probably be pencil Jets if I had to at 7, and then probably like less than pencil if it was less than 7. But if we look at the first matchup between these two teams, not only did the Patriots cover easily, and you referenced the final score, 25-6, right? Was that the final score in the game?
That's right. That was the Zach Wilson, like, three interceptions in his first, like, four pass attempts game.
That was everyone being like, this is going to be a disaster and not work whatsoever. And then all they did was go on and get bludgeoned by Denver the week after that, I believe in Week 3. So if we look at the market for that game, Patriots opened 3.5. I showed a huge number edge on them. We talked about it on the show. We bet them. They closed 5.5, and they won by 19. So you're like, all right, well, 5.5 at their place. Again, like surface level analysis, it's like 5.5 at their place, gotta be 7 here, or like gotta be more than 7 here. And it's just, like, I think we can learn more about the teams through the other closing spreads and their other performances, where we don't have to take a week two spread and just absolutely flip it to here. It's part of the equation. It's one thing that I think that's leading to the Patriots being favored by this much here, but it can't be everything. So if you tell me the Jets are off a bye and I get a full seven with my number and just kind of looking at how these teams are performed against other teams, like, I know it's going to be appealing maybe to take the Patriots because that week two box score just like screams at you, but I'm not so sure here, honestly. I'm not sure yet I'll have a bet on this game, but right now I'll say pencil Jets.
What would you say? It's more likely the spread closes above seven or below seven?
Ooh, that's a great, this one. I would love to have a really smart answer to this question. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
If you had to guess, my guess would be it closes above seven.
I like to trust my number in terms of where the line is going to go, so I will say it closes less than seven.
So what do you think, like 6.5 or maybe even like six?
No, I'll say 6.5. I think there's too much interest
in this game's going to be fascinating, yeah. Man. This game's going to be a fascinating game this week. Like, just like in terms of like the way that people approach it and try to handicap it. I think it's going to be really tough.
Right. It's also one of the reasons probably why my number got this way is that I was really expecting the number in Dallas, New England to close even less than it did. It can be whatever it's going to be throughout the entire week. Great. When all the money is in and it's all been counted and the sharp moves have occurred and every opinion has been registered from someone who matters. I was really surprised that was still over a field goal. Honestly, like I thought like juiced three New England was actually where I thought we were going to end up, like 3-120 on New England. And we did not get close to that. So obviously if that happens, then I have to make a pretty big adjustment to my New England rating.
All right, I got nothing right now. No pen, no pencil, and no blood yet, right, for the Patriots.
Blank slate.
Well, obviously, like what would it be? Eraser?
Right.
Blank paper?
Yeah, right, yes. Nick Ashew and I were trying to figure this out on Monday, where it's like, what's less than pencil? And it's like, black light, like invisible ink?
Blank. Right, so it's blank. Blank
it's
paper.
It's blank. Okay, I'm blank.
Pen, pencil, blood, or blank.
Okay.
So PPBB.
PPBB.
P squared.
Yeah.
P squared, B squared.
Okay.
Maybe that should be the new name of the segment.
Let's just keep adding things. All right.
All right. Let's stay locally in like the Northeast. It's kind of can't believe Dave Gettleman's still employed. It's pretty unbelievable.
This team is something. This team is something.
Oh, well, you know, there's something.
There's right. something. Something. At least they honored that team at halftime.
2011 team is like my second favorite team, right, of all time.
Remember a decade ago when we won the Super Bowl? That's
what I can't, man. And they wore like the white uniforms because they wore them during the Super Bowl, like at home. It's just, this is the stupidest.
But they
team
did go for
time.
Two down 35. So, you know,
we're going to Joe Judge. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. And he's a slap. We're going to compete for 60 minutes. You Neanderthal, you caveman buffoon, you idiot. You're going to get your players hurt. You jackass.
He was playing Joe Judge. He had a concussion. He couldn't stand up straight last week.
So I'd love to like have a con like, and like, I wouldn't even like yell at him. I just want to sit down with John Mara and just be like, I changed my mind.
Yeah,
no, I want to like knock on his head and be like, is anything going on in there? Anyone home?
Knock on his head.
Trust fund baby clown.
Costanza does the opposite episode of Seinfeld and he goes up to Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner's like, good to meet you. And he's like, well, I wish I could say the same for you, sir, as you take this once proud franchise. Run it into the ground.
It's incredible. Panthers at the Giants in the Dave Gettleman Bowl. Two franchises that Dave Gettleman ran into the ground. 2015 Super Bowl run for Carolina notwithstanding, which Gettleman destroyed. Panthers a 2.5-point favorite at Big Blue. Total 44.5. Carolina coming off. It never should have gotten to this. Thanks to Mike Zimmer for probably taking like, I don't want to say 6 months, but maybe like 3 months off my life with his decision-making in that game yesterday. Carolina loses 34-28, game goes over. Carolina has now lost three straight following the 3-0 start. Giants lose 38-11 to the Rams, and like wasn't even that close. All right, so I'm kind of like embarrassed to say what I think about this game, so I'll let you go first. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Panthers and Giants.
I'll say like pencil Giants teaser leg is probably the way I would approach it right now. Something like that. It's going to be a game with a really, really low total. Dog through 3-7 just sounds appealing to me. Also the way Carolina has like a completely inept offense right now. So the game stands to be pretty close, at least within a tight margin. Seems like a pretty good idea. You know, you look at the three opponent, like you mentioned, Carolina's lost three in a row. Obviously like that's terrible. They played Dallas, Philly, and Minnesota. Like all three of those teams can generate, even Philly can generate more explosive plays than the Giants can. So you would think Carolina could have better success in this game. But like, honestly, I think this is like an under three either way, not interested, probably, even though my number is a little less than this. I think I'm like Carolina by one or like pick, something like that. But if it got
I thought it was going to be a pick. I'm a little surprised that the spread is this.
If it got to three, Penn Giant. Well, I mean, like if it got to three, I'm just making a bet. So Blood Giants, I guess, if it got to three. But
that's what I have written down, by the way, is Giants at three is a bet for me. Giants teaser legs I like as well. In the same way that if it were Giants 2.5, Carolina teaser legs.
Exactly. So, you know, at the current market number of just 2.5. Yeah, I mean, like blank in terms of just betting the side. And yeah, I mean, it is just a bizarre game. And like how Carolina, it's funny because like, well, how Carolina has fallen. The market never liked Carolina ever. So like, that's really funny that they've actually just come back to being what the market expected. But if you look at their performances, obviously it's, oh my God, like what happened? They were, you know, they beat Houston on that Thursday night by 2 touchdowns to go 3-0. And it's like, something's up here. Like something's going on. I have Matt Rhule coach of the year. I was really hoping something was going on. You know, part of it's obviously injuries and McCaffrey and we'll see how that goes. And Darnold has played a lot worse, but it's just really interesting. Like the market really hasn't budged. Like my Carolina rating, I don't think it's changed almost at all, like the entire season. And it's been like kind of small favorite, small dog in every game that they played.
I think it's a good point on Carolina. They've obviously come back down to earth. Darnold's been brutal. I think the injury report's going to tell a big story here in this game. Like I think the Giants stink. That's well noted.
Well, they do.
I think
they just stink. Dumb. It's not even like a subjective thing. Right.
Yeah. But it's hard to expect them to do much with like the offense that they fielded yesterday. Trust me, I'm not making excuses for the Giants. Like they are bad. Like my opinions on them are well known, but I mean, no Saquon, Andrew Thomas isn't 100%. Galladay is not playing. Tony comes out on the first series. I'm not saying they would have covered the spread, but like if they have a bunch of these guys back, and I don't know if Saquon's going to be back, but if Galladay and Tony are back, the Giants are going to be able to move the football. And I can say this like with full honesty, I think Daniel Jones is better than Sam Darnold. Like I just think the Giants have the better quarterback in this game. Now, if he's got no one around him, it's going to be difficult here. If the number's three and the Giants get some guys back, I'm going to bet I may even bet Giants plus 2.5 if they get guys back.
Well, it's funny. Like so, Jones and Darnold are terrible in different ways, right? Like Jones will have big performances, but he'll turn the ball over like he did yesterday. Darnold won't turn the ball over as much, but he'll go like 8 for 38. Like it's just different flavors of terrible.
This is not a gotcha question. I'm genuinely curious what you think.
Okay.
If you could have one as your quarterback, who would you want?
God, it's so tough. Almost anyone versus Jones, I'd pick the other option because turnover rate tends to be really predictive. Like he's not going to stop turning the ball over, which means you can't win. But like,
he hasn't really been turning. I can't believe I'm like a Daniel Jones apologist now. Like I actually think he's like far from the problem right now with the team.
Sure. Well, it's tough to show up today and says he's not turning the ball over as much. I mean, it's just, they come in clusters basically.
After the game yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but so, he's got like, he's trying to do it all. Like he's got nothing around him. Like I kind of want to give him a pass for yesterday and I am not a Jones apologist.
I guess, I mean, if I had to have one on my roster, I think I'd rather have Jones, but I'd have him as a backup, but I'd much rather have Jones as a backup quarterback on my team than Darnold.
Yeah, I think the Giants have the better quarterback in this
game. But I want another as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Rookie X.
Yeah, can we take one of these first-round picks and get... Yes, please. Right. And I agree with that. You bet BetQL. Magnificent Football Monday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank. P squared, B squared, all our takes on week number 7 in the National Football League. So we'll see what happens there with the injury report for the Giants. I would not bet Carolina at that number. Maybe the game of the week right now, Ken. And this number has been bouncing from 7 to 6.5. I think depending on where you look, the number is a little different. Ravens 6.5 or 7 against the Bengals, total 48.5. Ravens coming off a 34-6 win against the Chargers. Like, I can't believe that game went under. If you had told me Baltimore scores 34, I would have been like, mortgage please on the over. 40 points are scored. And Cincinnati bludgeons Detroit. I texted you, great call by you. I'm happy I didn't bet Detroit. That's one that seemed really easy in retrospect. That's a miss by me. That game goes under the total. So what do you got here? Ravens 6.5 or 7 against Cincy, 48.5.
I think a couple things in the market that are interesting. So each team happens to be in a particularly brutal part of their, one is in a particularly brutal part of their schedule. The other is in the best part of their schedule. Ravens are playing these three at home. And we talked about this at the start of the stretch, a stretch of games where they were likely to look very good, start to get healthier. Again, they're not going to leave home for 5 weeks. And, this is game number 3 in a row at home. I think there's definitely a little bit extra built into this number for that reason. I think that explains basically like a half point difference between me and the market right now. And I'm totally willing to do that. Also, Cincinnati is in the middle of three in a row on the road. So you have each team in kind of the weirdo, you know, brutal and awesome parts of their schedule, which I think kind of stretches the difference to about this much between 6.5 and 7. So I look at this and I look at all the data that I kind of use to make decisions. I honestly think this is like the right difference between the teams. Like I look at this number and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to bet this. Like this actually looks like kind of what I would make the number. And I think it has everything built into it that it needs, but you know, just like, what do I think is going to happen necessarily? Blank. I'm not going to bet the game at all. I think I would probably say pencil Baltimore just because of the schedule spots, maybe creating a situation where the difference between them isn't like, you know, in a vacuum this much, but in this exact spot in the game that's going to take place Sunday, maybe it is.
I think I'm pencil Bengals right now, but I would need 7 or 7.5 to do it. Pencil Bengals. So not like, not a bad.
I think this number is like perfect. I think this, I was like actually kind of surprised that they got this right. Yeah.
Like, what did you think it was going to be?
7.
Yeah, at 7, I consider Cincinnati because I think Cincy can at least do a better job stopping the run, and I think Burrow can have a
right.
lot of success.
And when I say they got this right, I just mean like the openers that people bet into, and you could tell like they opened the 6.5, and a bunch of places like didn't move, which is just like, oh, we all had the same thing. Like, oh, how about that? Yeah. So I mean, that doesn't mean people who bet more later in the week won't register their opinion. I'll be curious to see what they do. And like Rob Pizzola, we'll have him on later in the week. He'll tell us what he did. Maybe something, maybe nothing. But my kind of knee-jerk reaction to the opener was like, yeah, totally agree.
Let's start our preview of the next game. We'll carry it over to the following segment here. We'll get into our takes here on the Falcons and the Dolphins in the next segment. But Ken, tell us about the market movement in this game, which I found to be incredibly fascinating.
For which game? I totally missed this.
Falcons and Dolphins.
Sorry. I was like staring at a game and I was like, did he ask me about this game or a different one? This was silly this morning. This our game basically opened Miami -1 or pick, depending on where you went. That was the opener. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay. Miami small favorite. And then a lot of Atlanta money literally came in at like 10 a.m. And not a ton. I mean, the limits are still kind of low, but enough to push this out to Atlanta -2.5 in a couple places, which was just honestly like surprising. There were 2.5s at noon, 1 p.m. I was really surprised by that happened. Not that I think it's wrong. I was just surprised by it.
All right. Our takes, pen, pencil, blood, or blank on the Falcons, Dolphins, Packers, Washington, Chiefs, and Titans right after this.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks. It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Whale Capper coming up in 40 minutes. Ross Tucker an hour from now. Power Hour, final hour. All our bets for tonight. Game 3 of the ALCS and the Bills and the Titans. But we got to roll through the games in week number 7. P squared, B squared. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank. Our takes on every single game. So, Ken, you talked about the market movement in Atlanta at Miami with the Falcons hovering around a 1.5 to a 2.5 point road favorite, which is nuts. Total of 48. Falcons coming off the bye. Their London win over the Jets, while the Dolphins coming off their London loss yesterday to the Jaguars. And people like, oh, Dolphins don't have a bye. Miami requested a later bye. So this was a Dolphins request to the National Football League. So Miami loses to Jacksonville, no bye, returns home to play the Falcons, and they are home dogs total here around 48.
Yeah, and if it's like, you know, before the break, I said my number, like, okay, close enough, like not really interested. But if you're wondering why the Falcons got bet, like why would all this money have come in? You know, you could be like, well, I mean, they played so badly against Jacksonville. They lost outright and they had a bad injury report. I lowered my Dolphins rating a pretty healthy amount off that game. And I didn't get to 2.5 or 3. I think it's entirely the unique travel spot that you mentioned and what people think that's worth. First time in NFL history, we have a team off a bye facing a team that didn't get a bye from a London trip. Literally, it's the first time because it just never happens with you to get your bye after the London trip every time. And it's, you have a unique spot. People might think there's value in that, honestly. Like, it's the biggest rest advantage travel difference you can literally possibly have. It's the biggest one you could possibly get. And we're also, you have to remember, we're not going through any key numbers here yet. Like, this didn't get to 3. If it got to 3, what would happen? Would people immediately buy Miami? We don't know the answer to that yet. So, you know, it explains kind of like this small amount of steam that we basically had. I think people are playing like what they perceive to be maybe an advantage on the Falcons. We also don't have a Dolphins injury report for this week yet. So we're not sure, like, you know, are any of the corners playing this week would be a really good place to start necessarily. Just, we don't know. And boy, I mean, if you could ask the Dolphins, I think they'd rather have that bye week now, if we go back in retrospect, God, like some teams could just desperate. Cleveland, we mentioned them. They don't get one for another 2 months either.
I mean, in that season, circle in the drain in Miami, like it's all but
there.
Done.
I think it's already there basically. I mean, I'd like, what is one in five comeback look like? Yeah. I mean, like 1-5, you're Buffalo's in the division. You're never winning the division. It's wild card spot, and it would require a very miraculous turnaround against the schedule. That
you just bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. It'll be right? All right.
Yeah, against a schedule that I don't think. I mean, it's so funny. The schedule is basically like half games where I give them no chance, and then there's like four games where they're like they haven't played the Jets yet. They have a home Houston. They have a home against the Giants. Like, it's not going to be like number one pick situation for them. I think we're way out of that. But just it's going to be that terrible limbo area of, you know, you're 6-11. You had really high expectations. You spent a ton of money a couple of years ago. You thought you had
don't have a first round pick.
Right.
The Eagles have it. You need a new quarterback. Toa. We should just call him that Toa instead.
Toa the slab.
Toeing the line. Because right, yes. he's toeing the line right now between right. awful and really awful.
Yeah, so you thought you had your guy, and maybe you don't, and it's like, you're in that, I mean, it's the NBA team that just like, you know, it's the Magic who like had talent but finished in the 9 spot every single year and just kept doing it over and over again, and then would sometimes get in the lottery, sometimes not. It's a really bad place to be, honestly, because like, what's the path to improvement? It's figuring out whether Tua is your guy, basically. But it's just, yeah. I mean, one of the most underachieving, disappointing seasons I think we have so far.
I've got Miami teaser legs in pen right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, is Atlanta blowing anybody out? I mean, that's a good question.
Well, Kevin Ridley is supposed to be back this week for Atlanta. He missed the London game due to a personal matter. He'll be back. Like, we need a Miami injury report that's like somewhat positive. Right.
But
right?
Atlanta, Jones and Howard Atlanta played both New York teams. Atlanta played the Jets and the Giants, and they beat both by one possession. So, like, pretty unreasonable to expect Atlanta blowout in this kind of situation. I don't care how bad the travel angle is, just a tough team to imagine like holding a lead and then like running the ball to blow the other team out. Just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Miami teaser legs for me in pen right now with the Dolphins and the Falcons. Ken, let's move on to the Packers and the Washington football team. Really interesting point spread, really interesting game. I mean, Green Bay's been pretty awesome since the week one, like just a great anomaly of all time, losing 38-3 to the Saints. Now they've ripped off 5 straight wins. Aaron Rodgers with honestly like one of the greatest moments in sports history yesterday, running in for the touchdown history. To cover the spread. I'm being serious.
Do you believe in miracles? And I still own you.
But not just I still own you, all my bleeping life, I own you, I still own you to the Bears. And so what are the Bears going to say? Like, yes, sir, you are our daddy, God, you are right. So yeah, it was great. Packers win 24-14. Thank you very much for kind of talking me off the over ledge yesterday, where that was just a lean for me by the end of the week, but the Packers end up covering the spread. Washington loses 31-13 to Kansas City. Both the games go under the total. What are you thinking here? Green Bay laying 9.5 against Heineke and the football team. Total 49.5.
Yeah, this was an opener that a lot of people were interested in betting. This opened 10.5 and was that way last night and for parts of this morning. And then it wasn't. And then it went away pretty quickly and went through 10 and out the other side. On this side of 10, I'll say like pencil Washington. I still think there's some room to go, but I think it's a tougher decision now when you're under 10. I think this 7-10 range is about right. And compared to what my number is, the opener was crazy. And then my other thought is total 49. Like let's get weather reports, but like
over.
I mean, how many? Yeah, or Packers team total over. I think is the other thing to just kind of approach this with. How are the Packers not having their completely traditional 4 to 5 minute time consuming touchdown drives? Literally every possession, you're never getting them off the field.
And Aaron Rodgers also isn't going to like throw it up into the air like Mahomes did yesterday. And like Mahomes played well in the game, but like I don't think the Packers are going to turn it over in the red zone 9 times like Kansas City did.
There isn't a way to like carve up Washington's defensive metrics where you would ever come out of this with like Green Bay scoring less than 30 points in the game. It's basically impossible to paint that picture just looking at the series of results that they've had. I mean, you would need the type of game you had from Kansas City, but you'd need it the entire 4 quarters, basically, I guess would be the way to put it.
Now, you kind of like Washington in the game. You said pencil Washington at the current number at 9.5, right? So if we think the Packers are going to score 30, like it has to be a high scoring game. And like the Packers, we'll see if Kevin King ends up like what his status is going to be, but Jair's obviously not there. Like Fields in that Bears offense is just miserable right now. Whether it's the play caller, whether it's the players themselves, it doesn't really matter, right? Like they ain't scoring on anyone right now, really. Why can't Washington score 20 points in this game if Green Bay is going to score 30 against this Packers defense, which is like really actually not good?
So is this a question of when we've had this handicap in a couple of games? I actually don't think the dog is covered either time we brought it up, but it's like if you like the dog, just play the total and give yourself the extra avenue at least to victory, which is they get completely bludgeoned to the point that the game goes over. And I think, Giants-Cowboys, The Giants Cowboys, went over the number. Yeah, so I take that back.
Way over, 64. Yeah, right, exactly. 44-20.
So, you gave yourself an extra avenue to victory because the foundation of that game was like, well, the favorite is going to score X number of points so often. I think we kind of have to look at this game like that. So more than 10, I think Washington was like, yeah, cool. Like, great. I can't get to that number ever. Easy, easy, easy. 7-10 is where it starts to get really dicey. So maybe now that the number exists under that, you try to almost like playing the game in a different way, right? Play the over. Washington has to score to hit it. Obviously, Packers are going to score a bunch of points in the game. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I'm trying to not that like my numbers, quote unquote, like mean anything, but like yeah, when but I sit you, down and I have it here, like,
which I like that you do that, by the way, like that's, I like that exercise. So what did you come up with as your numbers?
55.
I mean, it's like, how could,
like, why should the total not be what it was for Chiefs, Washington? Why should that not be the total?
I just, how many combined points yesterday in that game? What did the game land?
44. 31-13, I believe.
Yeah.
I think I'm right about that.
Yeah, I think you're right too. So, I mean, just points allowed. 31, 33 to the Saints the week before, 30 to Atlanta, 43 to Buffalo, 29 to the Giants. Like, that's everything back to the Chargers game, which we kind of established the Chargers bricked the red zone for 60 minutes, basically. What's a minimum number for the Packers in this game, realistically? 27?
31?
Yeah.
A minimum? Yeah, 27.
Like, settle for some field goals. Like, again, you have the type of red zone that the Cowboys had yesterday.
How many touchdowns are they scoring in? 3 minimum, right, for Green Bay? 3 minimum touchdowns.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, like, and there's ways they score less, but, like, it takes a lot. Whereas with a lot of other teams, like, there's much
sure,
more
like food poisoning.
Involved. Right, Aaron Rodgers tripping, getting out of bed in the morning.
Like Rodgers COVID. Like, that's how it happens.
And there are very few defenses where I feel like we would make that statement and feel positively about it, but, like, that's one of the reasons you like the Chiefs team total over yesterday. And you had the worst series of results imaginable and still hit it, by the way. It's just unbelievable.
I had Packers 10.5 also, by the way. So maybe like...
Oh, you had 10.5 in the game as your prediction.
Yeah.
That's pretty... That's interesting. Yeah, I mean...
I also had Miami minus 3 against Atlanta.
Well, here's an interesting juxtaposition, because like you said, you had 10.5. I mean, Chiefs were like 6.5, 7 in that game yesterday. Like, what's your Kansas City Green Bay difference? We're flipping home field. Lambeau's worth something, but like, it's, you know, it's a big number versus what I mean, Washington has played at Buffalo and home against Kansas City, and we didn't sniff this number in either game in the market. So
I honestly, kind of I think what you're saying makes a ton of sense about Washington there. So yeah. Like, it's not like me being like, oh, well, my number says this. Like,
right. They also got obliterated in both games. Like, somebody listening to this is like, well, they might have closed 7, but the game didn't end 7. The game ended a lot more than 7. Like, the Buffalo game, no one needs to be reminded of how the difference in talent on that field.
You better you bet BetQL, Costos, Barkley, pen, pencil, blood, or blank for week number 7 in the National Football League. Anything to say about Chiefs, Tennessee? We want to move on. I have one thing that I want to say about that.
I'll save all my analysis to tomorrow. I don't even have anything that smart to say right now.
Great. Kansas City team total over anything under 31 points. Okay. Onto the Raiders and the... I mean,
great. NK, $1 billion. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Like, BOG 303. Blue. Can I get the team total on Kansas City? Great. $100 billion on the over, please. Anything under 31 against Tennessee is just like, yeah, give that to me for Kansas City. Sure. Raiders and the Eagles. In Las Vegas. I know that I've seen some threes out there, but at Bet Rivers, the number is currently Vegas minus 3.5 against Philly.
Good
total
job by
year
me.
Is 48.
Last week.
Yeah, you nailed it when we talked about this on Friday.
Yeah.
Vegas beats Denver 34-24. Game goes over. We had the Raiders. Philly loses 28-22, but covers against Tampa. The game went under. A game that is burned into our cortexes. Yeah. So what do you got here? Raiders and the Eagles with Vegas laying 3.5, total of 48.
Remember what we said, too, if it was 3.5? Remember what we said we would do? Yeah.
Blood Philly.
Eagles money line. That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have the Eagles and the money line in this situation. I just...
Even at 3?
Around it. Oh, yeah. Like, I think the Eagles are still alive.
Philly's definitely winning, right?
I don't want to say definitely winning, but, like, I look at the Eagles' schedule, and I'm like, okay, how do the Raiders compare to, like, some of the opponents that they've had? This is a monster break versus a ton of the opponents that the Eagles have had. Like, oh my God, we can actually run the ball in this game? We're not playing Tampa or Carolina or the Niners or it's just like, wait, we can run the ball? Wait, maybe they don't want to run the ball. I don't know. We'll see what Sirianni cooks up in the lab. But just this is an incredible match versus so many of their opponents. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, I like Philly for that reason.
Yeah, I kind of like Philly as well. We talked about it on Friday's edition of the show, so we'll move on here. Ken, very interesting point spread. I bet this game already. This has to be a blood for me. Rams, 14.5 against the Lions in the Jared Goff revenge game. Total here is 49.5. I did find it noteworthy that after the Lions lost the not cover yesterday against Cincinnati, and one of the great press conference moments that we've seen in quite some time, in my opinion, maybe I'm prone to hyperbole, but Dan Campbell like stops, looks down. You can tell like he's thinking like, do I say it? And he's just like in his head, like, F it, I'm gonna do it. And he just throws Jared Goff completely under the bus. Like, we need more from the quarterback. He's got to step up here. Well, good opportunity to do it against the team that didn't believe in him and traded him for Matthew Stafford. So Rams coming off the demolition of the Giants. Detroit loses 34-11 to the Bengals. Game goes under. Lions are winless right now in line for the number one pick in the draft. Rams laying 14.5, 49.5 on Sunday against the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, Penn Lions, I guess, is the right way to put this. Because it's, I don't even love this bet in my brain, but I bet what my numbers tell me, unless there's like injuries or other things I have to factor in. It's worth noting that the Rams have played several teams that I would call at least below average. Some of them terrible. One of them they played last week or yesterday. And Detroit has played a lot of really good teams. Played the Niners, played Baltimore, played Green Bay. In all of the games I've referenced in all of these two teams' cases, this number hasn't sniffed 14. So like now it's supposed to be more than that. We see these like 2-3 game overreactions sometimes, and they're small. Like, I'm not saying it's supposed to be 10 or something or 8.5, but like, yeah, like I think you have to bet the Lions if it's more than two touchdowns.
Can I put it to you like this? Yeah. I love that you said that. 13.5, I'll speak for me and then I'll let you give your take on it. 13.5, no interest in Detroit. 14.5, give me the Lions.
It's possible 13 was my stopping point, but we're both kind of on the same page there. Yeah. So, I just, again, like, Rams could win this game by 900 points, but just I don't see any evidence based on what the market has told us about these two teams in all of the games that they have played against all the opponents that they have played, where we have never reached this number, despite the fact that the Rams have played terrible teams and Detroit has played many elite teams, some of which I would have rivaled alongside the Rams, even if slightly behind them. I just can't get to this number. So it almost hurt to put the bet in, honestly, but I think you have to bet the Lions.
Let's give one more here if we can sneak in and at least start it. And that's the Bucs laying 13 against the Bears, 47.5. Your projection was 13.5 last week, right? And we kind of were like, this number has to be like massive against Chicago. It is. Bucs laying 13 against the Bears, total 47.5.
Yeah, it was crazy. The look aheads, a couple of people sent me after the show, the look aheads were 10 on this game in a couple places. Now with very low limits. So no one's really registering an opinion there. It's kind of just like a fun thing to talk
about. Like the Dolphins game was.
Yeah. And honestly, that's a really good comp. How is this not the Dolphins game? That's a really good idea. I mean, can the offensive line hold up like Miami's didn't? Can Chicago run the ball? No, like Miami couldn't, like nobody could. And then like what kind of downfield passing attack do you have? Ability to generate explosive plays? Like what is this game going to be like? So you already know what my number is. I did not bet the game, but just if I had to bet it, like pencil Tampa is probably where I would come down.
Tease Tampa?
Blood Tampa. I thought that's what you were about to say.
No, I can't. Not at 13. Yeah. Bears could cover possibly, right?
Total 47. Yeah, man, the Bucks might have to score a lot of that.
Total 40s under. Oh, the Bears are good. Bucks are going to win 30-3.
God, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it just feels like a lot of Bucks games we've seen, honestly. Atlanta and Miami. Feels like both.
We'll close this hour talking Cardinals, Texans, Niners, Colts, Saints, and Seahawks.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The Prop King, Nick Costos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL. It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
The Whale Capper, Drew Densick, joins us 20 minutes from now, top of hour number 3 on the show, followed by Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. So a couple guests coming up next hour, as well as day 3 of Lockmas, and then Power Hour, Final Hour, bets for the Bills and the Titans, bets for the Red Sox and the Astros tonight, game 3 of the ALCS. But we need to wrap up pen, pencil, blood, or blank, P squared, B squared. Third new name for the segment in 3 weeks.
What's it going to be next week? What's it going to be Halloween? We'll see.
I was pretty sad yesterday that there were only 3 games in the 4 o'clock window Eastern time. We got 4 this week. And the last is we got some fake games this week. Games that are like, these games really even happening?
They feel fake. They definitely feel fake.
The Arizona Cardinals laying 16, the undefeated Arizona Cardinals.
Fakest one of all. Yeah, that's
okay. Laying 16.5 against the Houston Texans, total 47.5. So again, just to repeat, Arizona, 16.5 against the Houston Texans, total 47.5. Cardinals coming off the blowout over Cleveland. Houston is not great. 31-3 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Game went under and the Colts covered. Worst case scenario for us. What can you do?
We were right that the Colts were going to score a lot. We got that part right. Houston found themselves in the red zone a couple times throwing picks. That was unfortunate.
Well, yeah, like if you look at the actual box score, Houston should have scored like 17 points probably in this game. It's just wild that it turned out to be
10-0 Indy in the second quarter, and I believe there had been 275 total yards between the teams already, and it was 10-0.
Just one of those deals here. Tyrod Taylor might be back for this game, something to take into account. So, Ken, what are you thinking? Pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Cardinals and Texans?
That could be why we've seen a couple of like nibbles at Houston so far at 17, bring this number down a little bit. I didn't actually do this exercise. Maybe I'll do it like during your next comment, is pull my Houston rating before. So that he got hurt in the Browns game, which was week 2, correct?
Week 2. That's right. Okay. When they were like threatening to upset the Browns in that game.
I have my new rating I have my, my old one. Let me see what I would make it if he played 13, if he plays actually. So interesting. We feel like he's going to play, and you know, seems like all systems go. Penn Houston if he plays. But the other thing is, this is going to be a
what's your Mills thing. Number?
16.2.
Okay, so close enough.
And it's just when you get to these extremes too. And well, here's the thing with Houston, because like if somebody's going to make an argument for Houston, my pushback would just be like, we have plenty of data points of them against really good teams, or even like pretty good teams. Like they've already played Cleveland. They've already played Buffalo and they played the Colts last week. They were 10 against the Colts. They were 13.5 against Cleveland. They were 19 against Buffalo. They kind of have to be at least like 17 here if it's Davis Mills. Like they just kind of have to be. So it's not like there's just some crazy valuable number or something. I do think that, I mean, the most interesting thing is the quarterback situation. Cause like if Tyrod plays, do people remember enough that there actually should be that big enough a difference in the rating that this should actually be like 2 touchdowns if he plays? So if it's more than 14 and like that's available and we know for sure he's playing and it looks like he's 100%, the market's going to move on obviously that information. The market moved on Davis Mills starting. So, you know, it's just going to be like, when do you get the info? What is the number in the market when we get it? But that's my number anyway, 13 if he ends up playing.
My sense, I base this on nothing but my own intuition watching the game. I don't think Kyler Murray's healthy. I don't know if it's going to matter necessarily in this game, but like he doesn't look like 100%. And I know like he was like really good yesterday. Like I'm not saying like he can't be really good still. He doesn't look right. Like 100% physically healthy to me. Maybe he was on the injury report last week. So something that I'm going to be monitoring this week is like Kyler Murray's health. Will he pop up on the injury report again? Is the shoulder 100% healthy? Like he's not running at all. Like something's up. Something's up with Kyler. Not saying they still can't win by a million points. They could.
But looking ahead just real quick, and I know we have a bunch of other games to get to off this Houston game.
Only two. We got some time.
Arizona enters a really, really interesting part of their schedule, actually, I think. In week 8, they host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. That's a phenomenal game. I kind of want to run my number to make. Well, let's just do it right now. Let me get things finagled here a little bit. So it's Green Bay at Arizona next week.
Arizona under 3, but Zona favored.
Yeah, I'm going to try to put it in right now.
Arizona -1.
Give me 1 second. Pick is actually my number.
Okay.
That's a great game. That's like an outstanding. Well, let's hope Kyler's arm stays on for that game to happen. So, I'm kind of with you. I don't think he's 100%. I kind of agree with you. I don't think it matters in this game, but like, you know, they're entering a stretch. They play at San Francisco the week after that, a rematch, obviously, of the low-scoring slogfest with Trey Lance we just saw. Maybe the Niners are in better condition in that game. Then they play Carolina after that. It's kind of an interesting game. So just like a little interesting part of the schedule here for Arizona where, yeah, this game stinks, but like, test games and more interesting games are ahead. And, you know, yeah, like they're gonna win this game 95% of the time and they're going to still be undefeated.
If Mills plays, pencil under.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's been Houston this entire time, even if we don't like it, even if it hasn't worked out for us.
And this Cardinals defense is like, it's like actually good. Like this is a good defense.
Pass defense like, is insane. Houston. Like it's actually really good. Yeah.
And like, they're not going to be able to do much. Like if it's Mills, if it's Tyrod, I feel like his escapability is really good. And like, I'm a Tyrod Taylor fan. Like I think he could potentially move the ball here and the game becomes a lot more interesting with him. With Mills, I just feel like it's like 28-3. right. get out of town with the victory.
You don't even have to think he's awesome. Just that he's a significant upgrade over Davis Mills right now. Like, that's okay. He doesn't even have to be good for that to be true.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't think it, who cares? I was going to say, I don't even think Mills has been that bad. It doesn't matter. We'll move on.
Yeah.
Right. just because it doesn't matter. Sunday Night Football. Man, NBC really striking gold with some of these matchups here. Seahawks, Steelers. Can I interest you in the Niners and the Colts? Niners coming off their bye. Colts off a 31-3 win over Houston. Indy really should have three straight wins right now, but they obviously get Baltimore collapse sandwiched in between two wins. Niners 3.5, total 45.5. I think the Colts are going to win.
Oh, that's it? That's just you think the Colts are going to win? That's the end of the, that's the end of the analysis. I think the Colts are really live in the game. This number opened 4 and went down. I will say I think that was the correct direction for it to go. Let's kind of see what happens here. This is yet another game, though. The third one that we have to talk about, the Monday night game, is the other one, where team coming off a bye and a team that's particularly well coached coming off a bye, you would be inclined to think, and a team that might be like, do we know yet anything about Garoppolo? Like, is it 0% or is it?
Oh, I definitely don't think it's 0% in terms of health. I mean, he may not start, but I mean, I think that like, it's definitely not 0 in terms of, because like they were saying he could have maybe played 2 weeks ago.
I have this written as 50-50, but I didn't know if we'd heard anything today. I'm bad about like Monday quarterback updates sometimes.
My guess would be, my guess would be like 51-49 in favor of Garoppolo.
Yeah, because usually I'll like make my best guess like literally the second the games end, the openers come out, and then like Monday afternoon, I'm like kind of looking for stuff, but like the bets are already in, so it doesn't really matter at that point, really, unless I want to like really buy out of something.
Jimmy Garoppolo today on the practice field for the 49ers. Yep. Trey Lance not at practice today for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lance sustained a knee sprain in the Niners' loss to Arizona, which is a fun betting loss for us. This is per Cam Inman, one of the Niners beat reporters. I do not know what paper he works for, so attribution I will not be giving right now, but at Cam Inman on Twitter, quote, Garoppolo looks unhindered in his return from calf injury that kept him out past 1.5 games before the bye. Looks on target to start Sunday Night Football when the Niners host the Colts. Trey Lance not practicing, so Nate Sudfeld could be the backup quarterback. Somewhere Doug Peterson smiles.
I think this gets really interesting. I would have done this game tomorrow on the show, but now there's going to be so many more layers to it. I had a half unit on the Colts plus 4, and I was going to think about betting their money line too. It wasn't like a massive number difference for me with Lance starting. It was kind of in between, but I thought it was worth betting. Like, just not sure where the market was going to go. It's an interesting thought though. If it's Garoppolo and he's like flawless and he's like clean bill of health, everything's great, and you know all week that he's starting, my prediction is that I actually think this number is going to go up, that I think this might be the one game I bet that I'm going to get a bad number on. And my number with, if I use my Garoppolo rating, which is entering the Arizona game, then I actually think this number with Garoppolo, when we know he's healthy, is probably more like 6. I actually think is the difference between the teams. So this was like a bet I made on a guess, basically, and it wasn't for as much as the others, but I like the Colts in the game a little bit. But San Francisco off a bye, and we know it's going to be Garoppolo. Not that I think they're going to win now by a million, just where's the number going to go?
Has it moved, Ted, off this news? Has it moved at all in the last couple hours?
How long have we been doing the segment? Like an hour and a half? I haven't checked in that hour and a half. Let me know what my odds board real quick.
I'll look at Bet Rivers. You look at the odds board.
Sure. Yeah, you got it. For San Francisco, I have 3.5 still on the board. So.
3.5 for me as well on Bet Rivers.
Yeah. So I think when we know it's him, my guess would be this goes back up. I'm not saying I even think that's like correct or like what I would bet or whatever. Just
right. We're going to get a better number with the Colts.
It's going to go back up. Right. Well, that would be my point. Like, you don't have to you don't have to follow me on this one when I'm making a bet with incomplete information. And now you have more. Like, I think now if you like the Colts, you just wait. Is it really going to go 3 with a quarterback upgrade? That seems impossible almost.
Yep. So would you recommend? Yeah, we're guessing, but I was going to say, like, if you like the Niners, you should just bet the Niners now.
Yeah, just because I bet Arizona plus 3 before we knew Kingsbury had COVID. Like, I mean, it's just...
but I mean, like, that's like, you can't predict that. Like, Garoppolo's at practice now for the 49ers.
I had it written as like 50-50.
It's not so Kings, like, oh, Cliff's been sneezing.
Right. That's what the beat writers were reporting. I had the Go Bear coughing on the mics. So, like, if you have no position on the game, like, I bet the Colts. If it's you and you have no position, I just wait. Like, just wait. And now that we know if Garoppolo's going to play or not, let's see what the market does. Like, I might like the Colts in the game anyway, but I find it really hard to believe this number is going to keep going down now with that news. That seems so unlikely based on what we've seen in the market for the Niners so far.
All right, let's close with Monday Night Football. Saints laying 3.5 at the Seahawks, total 44.5.
I mean, like I made such a big downgrade for the Seahawks. and I didn't get to five, like, and I didn't get to 5.5. And now I'm like, all right, well, New Orleans is off a bye too. Awesome. Great. Another one of these things to try to figure out. Does this number just seem like a little bit too big to you?
I think the Saints should be favored.
Yeah. Oh, I had any question about that.
Probably I had like Saints minus, yeah. But I had Saints minus 2.5. I feel like anything above 3, I feel like I'm going to end up taking Seattle. That's kind of my thought. It's like pencil Seattle at anything above 3.
Yeah. And I mentioned it just, I mentioned this very briefly in the Sunday pod. So Pittsburgh closed 5.5 in the game last night with Geno starting for the first time. My Russell Wilson number in that game was Seahawks by 2. So that required a significant rating adjustment entirely on Seattle's part. And I struggled to get to 5.5. I'm not far off, but like, I can't bet New Orleans at this number. So I like pencil Seattle, I guess, but I don't know if I'm going to bet the game yet.
I kind of think this game's going to get a little loose.
Okay.
Pencil over.
Oh, okay. What if you just ended the analysis there? I think this game's going to get a little loose. Coming up next.
Like the P. Diddy song, finna get loose. This game is finna get loose. Saints in the last time we saw them scored 33 against Washington. I think Seattle's defense is pretty bad.
This is the worst defense in the league.
Washington's going to short a billion points in that game. Seahawks have got some weapons here. I'm just saying, pencil over for me right now, Monday Night Football, and pencil Seattle as well. 2 hours down, 2 more to go here. Magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet. Coming up next hour, Lochmas, Santa Lockie on the Heisman race. Ross Tucker joins the show, and we start the hour 5 minutes from now with Drew Densick, the Whale Capper, on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.